So ever since the 1973 movie The Exorcist, Hollywood has had an obsession with demonology. Right? I mean, if you pay attention, it seems like every few horror movies involve an exorcism of some kind. Yet, so often, the movies fail to capture the true story about the fight of good versus evil. They focus on the sensational, but they fail to capture the almighty power of God. You see, exorcism movies usually fail to capture the fact that the devil is a coward, and a coward in particular to one heavenly soul. So the late famous exorcist, Father Gabriel Amorth, whose life the movie The Pope's Exorcist was based on, by the way, I do not recommend that movie. If you've seen it, you know why. But anyway, Father Gabriel Amorth, the real man, discovered the importance of the Mother of God in the fight against evil in his conversations with the devil during exorcisms. He wrote several books speaking about this. And during one particular exorcism, the devil said to him, "I am more afraid when you say the Madonna's name, because I am more humiliated by being beaten by a simple creature rather than by him, Christ." Pope Francis related similar words in a homily once in Rome. He said, "Where the Madonna is at home, the devil does not enter. Where there is the mother, disturbance does not prevail. Fear does not win." Now, the Madonna, of course, is not the singer, but the Mother of God. You see, having assumed into heaven, Mary now watches over us, her children, from heaven, and intercedes for our behalf against the temptations and snares of the devil. So today we celebrate the great mystery of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, body and soul, into heaven. The dogma of the Assumption teaches that when Our Lady was at the end of her earthly life, she was taken body and soul into heaven. But why was she taken both body and soul? Remember, the rest of us, when we die, we're separated from our bodies until the last judgment. Well, Mary is called the Immaculate Conception, right? Because she was conceived without the stain of original sin on her soul. In other words, she was not born with a ruptured relationship with God, unlike all of us, which we inherited from our first parents. Because of this unruptured relationship, Our Lady never sinned, nor even had an inclination to sin. Therefore, when you think about it, it is fitting that as the Mother of God who bore the Christ in her womb, she should be taken body and soul into heaven at the end of her life and not suffer bodily decay like the rest of us. Why? Because death, and consequently bodily decay, is a result of sin. That being said, we don't know actually for sure if she died before she was assumed into heaven or if she was taken up before her death. Because the earliest records of the event that people wrote about, they say that she actually died first. The earliest one describes her being surrounded by the remaining apostles on her deathbed in Jerusalem, all except for St. Thomas. Now, I don't know about you, but I always notice whenever something as important is happening, St. Thomas is not there. He's always late. But the account says that when he heard of her death, Thomas came to venerate her body. But when he went to the tomb, her body was gone. Instead, the tomb was filled only with flowers. Now, why would she die, though, if she had not sinned? Right? Death is a consequence of sin. She didn't deserve it. Well, even though she never sinned, nor had original sin on her soul, it's still the ancient belief that she died because her own son had chosen to undergo death, even though he was without sin. She wanted to be like him in all things. Yet our Lord rewarded her because of her beautiful witness and devotion to God in this life by not allowing her body to decay. You could say that it was fitting that the Mother of God be reunited body and soul with her resurrected son in heaven. I mean, after all, how could he who loved his mother so much on earth be separated from her at death. Okay, so what does this have to do with us here today? Well, the dogma of the Assumption is not just some nice thing to think about once a year. No, it's so much more than that. In the mystery of the Assumption, our hope of salvation is increased. Because where a mother is, there her children should be as well. The Assumption calls the mind our ultimate journey to heaven. Our Lady desires our peace and safety. Right? She's a good mother who wants her children to live with her forever. She wants us to consult her in all things, to speak to her each day, to involve her in every aspect of our lives. Mary is constantly working to bring about her children's salvation, intervene in their lives, protecting them from sin and error, guiding them to their true home, which is heaven. She's guiding them to the home where she lives. Now reigning in heaven, Our Lady suffers no more as she once did here on earth. Yet, you could say, in some sense, that she still has anger. What do I mean by this? Well, she doesn't have anger like we think of anger, but instead a righteous anger, an ordered anger. She is a true mother, and like any mother, she is desirous of what is best for her children. So whenever there are threats to her children, she has a righteous anger to protect them against their enemies, as any mother would. In other words, she has a heavenly anger over the threats to the salvation of her children. She is not passive. There's been a long tradition to associate a verse from the Bible, from the Song of Songs, with Mary. Who is she that comes forth as the morning rising, fair as the moon, bright as the sun, terrible as an army set in battle array? For Mary, in her purity and righteousness, is truly as terrible as an armed army. In heaven, Mary intercedes for us to arrive at our eternal destination safely. Yet she is not foolish. She knows how much Satan craves our hearts, how much he craves our souls. She knows how much temptation there is in the world for us to forget about heaven, to forget about living for her Son, to forget about living Christ's commandments, to live in pure and moral lives. She knows how tempting Satan's lies are. Now the devil hates, he loathes the fact that his ultimate defeat has ultimately come at the hands of a lowly handmaiden. In a way, I guess, his proud heart could handle being defeated by God himself, right? Because God's almighty. But being crushed by a woman from Nazareth? The thought, I'm sure, is absolutely humiliating. Drives him crazy. For if there is one thing the most proud creature in all of creation hates, it is being humiliated. Yet as the book of Genesis teaches us, she has already crushed the head of that ancient serpent. Through her yes to the Archangel Gabriel, she participated in the salvation of the world through the birth of Christ the Savior. And she now knows that Christ wins at the end of the day. Yet because of the devil's hatred toward her and her offspring, she intercedes fervently for our souls each day. Ultimately, the mystery of her Assumption is a reminder that we are meant for heaven and that we must rely on her aid while here in this valley of tears until we reach that heavenly peace. And in case you didn't realize it, Satan hates you as well. He hates me. Right? His bitter envy inspires him to destroy God's creation, to drag it down into the abyss of hell. He would love nothing more for you, you who are made in the image and likeness of Almighty God. He'd love nothing more than for you to join him in the eternal flames of that lake of fire. For misery loves company. But fear not. The ancient serpent is powerless against the Immaculate Virgin. For in God's plan, she is the instrument that Christ uses to humiliate and demolish him. Do you want to crush the head of the devil in your life? Do you want to make it safely through trials, temptations, and storms to heaven? The answer is simple. Call on Mary. There is a reason why demons flee at the name of Mary. For from Mary, we learn to surrender to God's will. From Mary, we learn to trust even when all hope seems lost in our life. From Mary, we learn to love Christ, her Son, and the Son of God. No one who throws himself at the feet of Our Lady ever comes out hopeless. Mary picks us up in our defeats. She picks us up in our sorrows. She gives us hope even in our discouragements. She encourages us to keep on going. As a good mother, she's always willing to present our needs to her Son. And after all, how can her Son honestly refuse a request from his own mother? Countless examples from history attest to Mary's intervention in times of need. When the plane hit the Pentagon on 9/11, a worker happened to be praying the rosary at the time of its impact. Whereas everything around her caught fire, she survived without harm. When the notorious serial killer Ted Bundy broke into a college dorm, he stopped short from killing a girl who was praying the rosary. He later claimed he felt a spiritual presence that scared him away. When the atomic bombs were dropped on Nagasaki and Hiroshima, everything was disintegrated for miles, except for two churches, a Jesuit novitiate in Hiroshima and a Franciscan monastery in Nagasaki. When asked why they believed they were saved, the Franciscans responded, "Because we pray the daily rosary." Mary wants to be involved in our lives. So whenever we are discouraged, ask Mary for help. Discouragement is not from God. Mary will help us cling to God for strength. So in summary, it was fitting that she who witnessed her Son on the cross, suffering in her heart the pain she was spared in childbirth, should contemplate him seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. It was fitting that the Mother of God come to possess what belongs to her Son, that she be honored as mother and servant of God by all creatures. It was fitting that the spouse of the Holy Spirit be taken to our heavenly home without bodily decay. God could do it, therefore he did. Mary's assumption shows we were made to be body and soul in God, with God in heaven. Yet until then, we've got to stay close to her, for she's a gentle but powerful intercessor in heaven against the snares of the evil one. And so today, let us ask her, the sinless Virgin Mary, to beg her Son to fill us with hope and trust in his plan for us. Let's ask her to protect us against the snares of the evil one who wants us to lose faith in Christ in the midst of our daily sufferings and heartaches. If we do so, if we cling to Mary daily, then surely our faith in Christ will be strengthened, because Christ is ever close to his mother. He's so close to her that if we know her well in this life, when we finally meet Christ on our judgment day, when there is nothing to hide behind except the truth of our lives, he will look at us and say, "Ah, yes, I've heard my mother speak of you." Amen.